Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Dan Bayer's interview with Gotham and Spirit Award nominee Jonathan Majors for A24's The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Welcome everyone to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are interviewing Jonathan Majors, co-star of The Last Black Man in San Francisco. Jonathan, how are you doing today?
You know, feeling good. just tired enough. Just awake enough, you know.
Yeah. Sure. Well, we are here obviously to talk about The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which for my money, one of the best films of the year, even now in November when we're recording this. It's a beautiful film. You have a really interesting role to play in it. But my first question is, how did you become involved in this project? I know you graduated from Yale School of Drama not that many years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I left Yale in 2000. I graduated at Yale in 2016, and went right into the tutelage of a director named Gus Van Sant. And literally my second semester of graduate school, I happened to audition for a role that he and Dustin Lance Black were seeking, and I won it and jumped. I mean, I guess 3 years later, here we are talking about Last Black Man in San Francisco. And the role of the whole project kind of came, you know, the old-fashioned way, where my agent manager kind of, you know, sniffed out a great project and they sent me the script. And I remember sitting in my one-bedroom apartment in Harlem. reading, I didn't have a kitchen table, reading on this like little cafe table in the middle of my room, slash living room, slash doll room, slash, you know, room, and reading the script. And my girlfriend at the time walked in, and I look up from it, and she goes, "What are you reading?" And I say, "Oh man, I got it, babe. This is it. You know, it's like, this is here, man." And then I just, you know, from Joe Talbot's words and Rob Richards' words and Jimmy's spirit to literally, you know, going to a corner of the other room and taping it, you know, taping an audition, you know, and then the rest was, I guess not as traditional because the callback happened to be in San Francisco. And I taped, and then I taped again, and they asked me to come out, and I flew myself to San Francisco. Did the callback with Jimmy and Joey and Rob and then the producer Christina O was there, as was Kalia. You know, the whole team was there. So I guess it was only traditional to the point of like auditioning. And then the rest was a bit of a circus, you know, which is appropriate for you know, the spine and spirit of the film.
Yeah.
Montgomery.
Yeah. And this was Joe Talbot and Jimmy Fells. This is their first film.
Yeah.
What was it like on set as they were trying to navigate this and shooting on location in San Francisco, which is not easy either.
Wow. You know, I love that. I've never had that question before. It was the most adrenalized shoot that I think to date that I've ever done. And right now I'm playing a fucking action hero. You know what I'm saying? Pseudo action hero, you know, and there is more adrenaline on that set of Last Black Man in San Francisco because of that. You know, it was full on passion, you know, and the thing about, you know, Joe Talbot is he has a way of putting together a great team, and we were that, you know, and I was the last man brought in and the team was complete, and he was our, he was our GM, you know?
Yeah.
And he had such a clear passion and such a clear, you know, everybody that was involved in the project was very untraditional in this sense that these people were already a family, you know, and it's like trying to fight a war when you're occupying a country. It's not going to be easy. You know, that the people you are occupying are going to fight for their life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's their homeland. And these people were making that film. And then, you know, I was in making that film, you know, with them, like this was war. You know, like, we were fighting on our turf, and we're going to make this fucking film, you know, to the best of our ability. And it's going to be, we're going to put all our blood, all our tears, all our time and resources into it, you know. So I think everyone had known each other for years, you know, which is not the case, you know, on most sets.
Yeah.
There's some friendships, but that set was a clan, was a family, you know. And so we operated well.
And what's it like to come into an atmosphere like that?
It's kind of like falling in love a little bit.
You know,
where you kind of walk in, and it's like you're nervous. Or, you know, in some cases, you don't know what's going to happen at all. But then you see somebody and you go, oh, shit. It's all good, you know. it's literally all good, you know. And, like, all the nerves you had turned into interest and curiosity, and it emboldened you in the stepping forward, you know, in the relationship and in the love. And Jimmy and Joey had such a clear way of it was so clear what you were stepping into. It was kind of like Cinderella, you know. If the shoe didn't fit, you didn't get it, you know.
Yeah.
And they weren't suffering fools, you know. It was that simple. If it was too snug, it wasn't yours. It might be your shoe, but it's not your shoe. And I was fortunate enough that they offered the slipper, and I was like, let's just see how it goes. You know, I'm willing to fail here, and you guys are willing to offer me this thing, and it fit. And, you know, we all kind of, we were very simpatico, you know, and we became this, you know, still Team Six, and we could roll, you know, we could just go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly seems like a great atmosphere in which to play a character like Mont, who is very much has the soul of an artist. He's a playwright. He's a very unique character. I don't think I've seen anyone in any movie quite like him. It's very difficult to describe him. So my next question is sort of like, how was he described in the screenplay, and what did you find as your in to playing him the way you did?
How he was described in the screenplay, he was described as, first and foremost, Prentice Sanders. So he was a different character. He wasn't the Montgomery Allen that we now have, you know, in film, you know. So that's the first and foremost. But then he was also described as quirky and handsome under his glasses. He was wearing glasses at first.
Okay.
And that was pretty much it. That's pretty much it, you know. But that's the beauty of the Rob, Richard, and the Jimmy and Joey trio is that they wrote it was in the DNA. You know, Montgomery is a mutation of Prentice. You know, I saw Prentice and I was like, okay, cool. And me myself, you know, I'm a very, very, believe it or not, I'm an introvert, and that is something that Mont is, you know? So that's really, that's, that's sometimes the hardest thing in the world to figure out, well, where does one pull their strength from?
Right.
Right? From the outside or from the inside? You know, there's no good or bad, but some characters are extroverts. And if an introvert has to play an extrovert, there's a great deal of work that has to be done.
Yeah.
You know, to change your, you know, and so we had that in common. And then we also had in common the fact that we were in some ways creators. Prior to graduating from YSD, I did my undergrad at the North Carolina School of the Arts.
Mm.
And before that, you know, like all my education is in theater, you know, is in acting. I'm kind of fucked if things go south, you know. And the obsession, you know what I'm saying? That's the other thing, you know, that, because that's the engine of Mott, right? I can say that. That's the engine of Mott. He's obsessed with humanity. You know, he's obsessed with seeing things and experiencing things. And with that obsession, he then has an objective, which is to see clearly and behave in the most moral way, you know, in order to not save himself or lift himself up, but so his community, you know, can thrive. And the capital of his community is manifests itself in Jimmy Fails, his best friend. And so in that way, he's ferocious, you know, about his loyalty and about his art, because that's his way of communing with the world. And we share that in common.
Yeah.
I'm not a fisherman now.
No. that's one of the really fascinating things about it, right? Especially that the play that Mott writes and performs is, first of all, I mean, what a tremendous scene. What a gift that scene is, I think, for any actor to play.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the fascinating things about that scene is it's sort of both a gift to Jimmy, but also an admonition of how he's been acting and what this life that he's been building that isn't really real.
Right.
And gosh, what was that scene like to play?
Well, it was, it was like that. You know, I remember coming into work that day and like the entire set, you know, the entire family was, they were tight. Like everyone's shoulders were up to the eyebrows. I was
right.
Like, what the hell are we going to do here? You know, because.
And a cramped space too.
Yeah. I was like, let me tell you what can't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't be nervous about this. I mean, we're a small independent film, you know, like we've got one day to shoot this. We should have 3 days to shoot this.
Mm.
This should be a 3 day shoot, you know,
wow.
We cover that, you know, and it wasn't, we shot it in one day.
Wow.
In one day, you know, from can see to can't see, you know, as some people would know. And, it was on, man. It was the epitome of what I think art is. You know, you have to, you fill yourself up, you do all your work so you can give it away, you know, and you just got to give until it hurts,
yeah.
You know, and that's what the scene was about. You know, Montgomery needed to communicate clearly, you know, what it is he was experiencing, you know, and what it is he felt the community was experiencing, you know, and the hint at the cannibalism between young black men, you know, and then the self-mutilation that Jimmy was putting himself through, you know, and there's a big wake-up call, you know, but the whole film, you realize Mott is trying to figure out how to do it,
yeah.
You know, how to do it. And that's his struggle, because that's also the part where you actually see the cracks in Mott. You know, he doesn't go Super Saiyan. You know, he actually loses his mind. You know, it becomes the amount of grief that he takes on, you know, in order to communicate that breaks him, you know. But that's what has to happen, you know. And so in shooting it, I mean, Joey was coming in, and I was staying backstage. Joey was coming in. He was like, "You okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, I'm fine. Let's go." You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was like, "Yeah. Let's go." You know, and then we get to the last little beat. You know, and we send people home. you know, so late. And, you know, Joey comes up, we're gonna go one more time, you know, and we're doing this new setup. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's go, man. And at this point, I've been on my feet, you know, 13 hours and like, you know, working at the pitch necessary.
Right. Yeah.
You can't phone something like that in. You can't phone art in. Like, you can tell, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell, and it's for Jimmy, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's all for someone else. It's for Kofi's friends.
And he's giving everything of himself. So you have to too.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no, I mean, art imitates life. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's exactly what he's doing. And Mark's tired and I'm tired, you know, and my voice is ragged, you know, and I remember I went to the corner and, you know, I said, you just got to break now. That's what's got to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where you're at now. Like, you don't have, there's really nothing else there. You know, the lines, you know, the tank is empty, you know, it's not bullshit. It's not fake defunct. But now the spirit's got to take you, you know. And if you break, there's something inside of this. If you break this in this scene, in this moment, if you can break, you'll have enough to get through it. And I say, well, that's what's gonna have to happen. Mm. And we got out there, and I remember it was in film, Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, etc. You know, and that's the slate, and that's the setup, and all that stuff. And this one, it was Zulu. So we had gone all the way through the alphabet. It was the last setup. And we're on Zulu, and we go out and me, Jimmy, and it was just me, Jimmy, the DP, Adam Newport, Joey, Rob, and the producers sitting in the back watching. Mm-hmm. And Joey said, "Action!" And we go. And you know, there's multiple takes that could have been used, but the take that's in the film is that last take.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like one of those magic things.
Yeah,
it had to shoot all day in order for that to happen and to get that perfect scene. That's really amazing when things come together like that.
Yeah, I felt very fortunate to be the individual, the avatar, to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. It was a very humbling night, you know, like, wow.
Yeah.
And something like, who gives a fuck if someone sees this, you know, like that just happened, you know, because it really has to happen, you know. It's on film. I mean, you can't fake the film.
Yeah, and you did it, man. It's a fantastic performance in a fantastic film. You know, and like I'm pulling for you. I know most of the team at Next Best Picture is pulling for you this season, hoping you get some, you know, recognition for that work. But I mean, the performance speaks for itself, and that lives, and what a monument and what a testament to everyone who worked on that film.
Oh, God.
What's next for you? What can we see you in next?
Oh, yeah. Woo! The next... So I'm currently shooting a TV series with HBO called Lovecraft Country, and I'm fortunate enough to play the central character in that. So, I mean, you'll get tired of me after that, because I'm, you know, it's 10 hours of a, you know, of a period drama, sci-fi, horror show. And it's just, it's incredible, you know, but that would be out 2020. But there's a film called The Five Bloods that Spike Lee shot in Thailand and in Vietnam. Oh. And that'll be out pretty soon. Spike and I actually spoke a couple of days ago. He's feeling very excited about it. And that's a war story about a father and son, and you know, the sins of our fathers, and you know what brotherhood is. You know, it does speak to, you know, the theme that's also in Last Black Man. You know, of brotherhood, and you know, elements of black masculinity, and also, you know, what is war, and what war does to a community, and what war does to a family, and what war can do to a single spirit. And it's a beautiful film. It's a beautiful film.
It's great.
And a great cast. So that would be out soon. I don't know the release date, but that'll be in theaters, and also it'll hit Netflix, and you know, Spike is good at making noise, so you won't miss it.
I have no doubt. Well, I'm looking forward to it, looking forward to see you in everything that you do next. I mean, this is...
Oh, that's very sweet, bro.
This is... You can do great things, and we're looking forward to following that career that you're going to have for yourself. I think it's going to be a great one.
Oh, thank you, man.
You're welcome. Wow. Thank you, man.
I put you in my pocket.
No, thank you for talking with us. Thanks for the work you do, and you know, break a leg. Best of luck throughout the next phase.
Oh yeah, man. I hope to see you in person someday.
I would love that. That would be amazing.
Well, make yourself known if you see me.
I will do that, man. I will do that.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to Dan Baer's interview with the star of The Last Black Man in San Francisco, recent Gotham and Spirit Award nominee Jonathan Majors, for your consideration for Best Supporting Actor. You can subscribe to the Next Best Picture podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, Acast, CastBox, and also on Spotify. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you for listening, as always. We shall see you all next time.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.